You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Pit Pass F1. My name's Michael Laminato, and this is Sprint and Qualifying Day at the Chinese Grand Prix. Pit Pass F1 is brought to you by Evergreen Podcasts, and on today's episode, Max Verstappen wins the Shanghai Sprint from fourth on the grid at a canter, and then doubles down with a dominant pole position for the Grand Prix. Sunday's grid, though, is in some respects the opposite of what was expected, with a motivated Fernando Alonso best of the rest for Aston Martin. And the stewards have a very busy day with a series of long-winded investigations, including a multi-hour ordeal deciding on a definition for the word stop. To wrap up the sprint race and qualifying for the Grand Prix, let's hear now from Diego Mejia from the Shanghai paddock.
Hello everyone, I'm Diego Mejia speaking to you from Shanghai to get you the Chinese Grand Prix Saturday edition of the Pit Pass F1 podcast. First sprint of the season, 8th sprint win for Max Verstappen, 3rd in a row after Austin and Interlagos in 2023, a format that he doesn't particularly like, but one that he dislikes a little less this year with the adjustments that allow now for setup changes ahead of qualifying for the Grand Prix, which was the second part of the Saturday, where the 3-time world champion was able to claim a 6th consecutive pole position, surpassing his best streak of poles and getting his first in China, also the 4th for Red Bull at the venue, where the team claimed its first pole and victory 15 years ago. Verstappen's pole marks a milestone for Red Bull at Shanghai International Circuit because it's pole 100 for the reigning world champions. It may sound like the usual parade for Max and Red Bull, but it wasn't exactly the story of how Saturday unfolded, as there was some entertaining racing, incidents, controversy and surprises. The sprint race was another missed opportunity for Lando Norris on his quest to get his first race victory in F1 under his belt. From beside him on the front row, Lewis Hamilton made a great start and was able to secure the inside line into the very long turn one, where he squeezed Norris towards the dirty part of the track, where he lost grip, slid off, and lost any chance he had of fighting for victory, dropping not only behind Hamilton and Alonso, but also the Red Bulls and the Ferraris. So we were left with Hamilton leading from Alonso, but as expected, Max in the Red Bull would prove too quick for the Mercedes and the Aston. After leaving a fighting Carlos Sainz behind and overcoming some issues with the state of charge of his battery, he would quickly start to close on Alonso, overtaking him easily on the box straight and almost doing the same with Hamilton a couple of laps later, getting him on the brakes into the hairpin almost halfway into the sprint. So once Max was ahead, a really exciting battle started to unfold behind Hamilton as Alonso led a DRS train from Sainz, Perez and Leclerc. The Aston Martin started to slide more and more every lap, and Sainz, whose tires were in much better shape, was able to finally launch an attack on his countryman, but Alonso was up for a fight, and through corners 7, 8 and 9 they battled for position, twice making contact. Eventually it wasn't Alonso or Sainz, but Perez who prevailed in the battle for P3 after the Spaniards both ran wide at turn 9 following contact that was later investigated by the stewards, but we will discuss that in a minute. Alonso got a puncture and was forced to pit and retire from the sprint, but that wasn't the end of the action, as Sainz then had to fend off his teammate Charles Leclerc. The pair made contact out of the hairpin as Sainz squeezed Leclerc, invoking the worst possible nightmares for the Ferrari pit wall. In the end, Leclerc dived aggressively on the inside of Sainz into the long first corner, completing the overtake into turn 2. The Monegasque later told me in the TV pen that Sainz was definitely way too aggressive, but accepted he may well have been as aggressive as we may remember at Monza last year while fighting for the podium position behind the Red Bulls. So Verstappen won by 13 seconds, a margin he was able to create in about half of the 19 laps of the sprint. Hamilton finished second, making the most of the clean air he enjoyed for a good number of laps while in the lead, actually leading for the first time since last year's US Grand Prix. That allowed him to save his tires more than those who were battling in Alonso's DRS train. Perez wrapped up the top three, struggling for traction and killing his rear tires while trying to overtake Sainz. But right after attending the TV pen, both Alonso and Sainz had to visit the stewards, where discussions were lengthy. Only half an hour before the start of qualifying, the stewards issued document 40, where they decided to give Alonso a 10-second penalty. They determined, after reviewing the video evidence, that Alonso caused a collision with Sainz at turn 9. The result was car 55 had damage and car 14 had a puncture. However, a 10-second penalty after finishing last on the sprint meant the penalty had no effect. But Alonso was also given 3 penalty points on his license. This is the second time he gets such amount of penalty points, the first being the Australian Grand Prix. He's now halfway to a race ban, which to me doesn't really make much sense. I feel Alonso is one of the cleanest drivers on the field. I questioned him about his penalty later in the day in the TV pen, and he also questioned the very purpose of the sprint. He said it made little sense to use up tires and take risks for no reward, but all the opposite really. And I'm with Alonso in this. I don't think this contact with Sainz merited a penalty. If Sainz had given him a bit more room, probably that would have been avoided, but even then, Alonso had lost already, and it wasn't really what I would call a dangerous or unsportsmanlike maneuver. But there was more controversy on his penalty too, and this is why it took so long for the stewards to come up with a decision, as Alonso had not finished the sprint, which, depending on your interpretation of the rules, will mean Alonso faced a drop of grid positions on Sunday's race. However, Alonso was officially classified as he only missed the last 2 laps of the sprint, which allowed for the penalty to apply, even if in practice it made no difference. That was not the end of the controversy in the stewards' room, and we'll leave that for the end of this episode. Coming back to the sprint, George Russell was the only driver who risked on using soft tires for the 19 laps, and he was rewarded with a point for 8th place behind the 2 McLarens. Joe, when you finished the sprint in 9th place, no points, but his best result in a race this year on his first time on home soil. We had qualifying later in the afternoon and we had a few upsets. Lewis Hamilton failed to make it through Q2 for the first time since Saudi Arabia 2022. He made some setup changes after the sprint, but his car proved difficult under braking. He locked up into the hairpin on his final lap and was knocked out in Q1. So was Yuki Tsunoda for the first time this year, as was also Joe, who was blocked on his first run, and then also as Hamilton locked up into the hairpin on his final lap. Q2 saw the next focus of controversy as Carlos Sainz spun into the tire barrier on his first flying lap. The red flag came out, but minutes later he was able to rejoin the track, return to the pits, replace a broken front wing, fit new tires, and beat his teammate at the end of Q2. Hours later, around 6 p.m, Aston Martin protested the results of qualifying because in their view, Sainz shouldn't have been allowed to rejoin the session. In their view, Article 39.6 of the Sporting Regulations states clearly that any driver whose car stops on the track during the qualifying session, which was the case, cannot take further part in that session. Well, this one took a 3-page document 52 following nearly 3 hours and well into the night, where the stewards announced they had dismissed the protest. It had been agreed recently that the article should be modified to add outside assistance to the text of the article. Clearly, Sainz stopped but rejoined and did so without any physical assistance. This has been the way this article has been applied in the past. But all this had no business in what was going on at the front, with Red Bull securing the front row and Alonso getting every thousandth out of the Aston Martin to put it in P3 on the grid beside the McLaren of Lando Norris. The Ferraris didn't enjoy a good qualifying with P6 and P7, but are expected to bounce back in what looks like a two-stop race on Sunday, where high degradation will be a challenge. Nico Hülkenberg and Valtteri Bottas completed the top 10. So that's it for a very long and busy Saturday. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back with more from Sunday of the Chinese Grand Prix.
That was Diego Mejia, who'll be bringing you the latest from the Shanghai paddock all this weekend. You can find more from Diego on social media. Just check the link in the show description. You can stay up to date throughout the Chinese Grand Prix by subscribing to Pit Pass F1 wherever you get your favourite podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating and a review. You can also find us at pitpassmotorsports.com, where you can check out the Pit Pass Motorsports blog, powered by Podium Life, featuring racing articles and motorsport industry news. Pit Pass F1 is an evergreen podcast. My name's Michael Laminato, and we'll be back with the Grand Prix tomorrow. Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.